You are the church, amen? Amen. I can be the church. So the whole year's been centered around. And last year when myself and the preaching team, we started putting together this idea going through the book of Acts and this whole year theme of I can be the church, we had no clue what God was going to be doing this year and how this was going to fit into where we were headed and how this was going to fit into what's going on. In April, May, we started working on a new vision, new mission, a new direction, and really seeking God's guidance and seeking what he's going to do. And in August, we got a chance to present the new mission and new vision to you, and we have been very active. We're going to be sharing some things next week about how active we have been since that release in August. And it's been inspiring, it's been encouraging, and it's just been just super, super awesome to see that happen here at this church. And so let's go on and review that, because what I've seen with the Acts Challenge boards is they're starting to get more and more badges on them. And I want to encourage you guys. I want to give you a heads up. Next week, we have a couple of very special speakers coming in to share with us. And if you've got some badges that you haven't turned in, or if you've seen some of the Acts Challenges and you've said, you know what, I need to do that someday. That someday is this week. I want Kelly to just be overwhelmed with badges this week. And I want these boards to just continue to fill up because I want them to see the church that you guys are. And I know that there are some badges that are not being represented on there. And so get them turned in. Do the thing. You know, get some Acts Challenges going. Keep moving. Keep that in motion. So our mission statement that we revealed earlier this year in August is, let's go on and read this together. Mission is revealing God through a church in motion. I really feel like that has stuck with you guys. That's been awesome to see that. And it inspires me because it helps me to really see it really was from God. You know, I believed it was from God. I heard it from God. The staff, we heard it from God. The elders heard it from God. But then seeing you guys respond by your actions, by the things that you're doing for the kingdom, confirms that this is God's mission for this church. Now, a mission is external. It's a brand. It's being able to say, this is what our church does. This is how our church reaches people. This is how our church exists as a church. We reveal God through a church in motion. We're active. We're actively serving. We're involved. We're doing things. That is our mission. Now, vision is something more internal. Mission is more for, here's what we are to show the world around us. Vision is for us, those who are working shoulder to shoulder, side by side, you know, just in the trenches together. And vision is to give the church, here's exactly what we want to be. And so our vision statement is being a church visibly connected to the heart of Christ by actively bringing hope to the community through serving, transforming, and reproducing others to the same heart and actions. That's our vision statement. We're going to take the next three messages that I get a chance to share, and we're going to break down our vision statement and reveal phase two of what's happening here and some of the direction and what's going to be propelling us into the next stage of what our church is and how our church is going to be an impacting church for the kingdom in our area. And so what we're going to do is we're going to break this down into three pieces. Today, and then next Sunday, which is the 18th, then December 2nd, we'll be skipping a Sunday. On November 25th, we have a special speaker coming in from LAM, which is Latin American Missions. And if you noticed in your bulletin, that's what the harvest offering is going towards. Every year we take up an offering at Thanksgiving, and that offering is to go to a mission, a missionary. And this year it's going to Latin American Missions, a mission that we support. And he will be here that Sunday to share with us. And that's just always, it's always a blessing to have Billy Loft here with us. So we will be doing that on the 25th. But just giving you an outline of what's happening on the 11th, today, the 18th, and then December 2nd. December 2nd is going to be just a neat thing because that is going to be the end of this message series. It's the end of the Acts series. It's coming to the end of the year, and it's just neat that all that's happening on one Sunday. So we're going to be talking about a lot of things. Today we're going to be doing something a little bit different. We're going to take some notes real quick. I'll blow through the notes in your bulletins. Don't pack up. Don't put your bulletins away. We definitely are not done when you're done filling out the bulletin. Okay, what I want to do is we're going to build a reference to look back at. So you're going to fill this out because I'm going to have other things on the board, and I need you to be able to look at your bulletin, look at the board, look at your bulletin, look at the board, look at me, look at your bulletin, look at your spouse, look at the board. You know, don't get too distracted. So let's go and fill out this bulletin. 3 points. We're taking the vision statement. Actually, let's go back. Okay, this is the part of the vision statement we're talking about today. Being visibly connected to the heart of Christ. Not just connected to the heart of Christ, but visibly connected to the heart of Christ. It's great for you if you're connected to the heart of Christ. It does nothing for the world around you unless it's visible. Jesus said, you light a lamp and you put it on, or you light a light and you put it on a lamp, so it gives light to the whole room. He says, you're a city on a hill. You can't be hidden. You're there. Let your light shine so that people will see your Father and glorify Him in heaven. So let's look at the heart of Christ this morning and build a basis, a foundation for our Sunday. Jesus came to earth because of God's love for all people. If you're a Christian and you agree with that, say, oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Jesus came to earth because of God's love for all people. Let me read some verses for you while you're writing that down. John 3:16, some of you will recognize these verses. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Ephesians 5:1-2 says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. So if you're going to imitate God, God did what? He loved what? People. He loved the world. So much that He gave His only Son. So in Ephesians 5, He says, therefore, be imitators of God, or be imitators of God, therefore, dear children, and live a life of love. You don't need the scripture up there. You can finish that. Live a life of love, just as Christ, our leader, loved us. He went before us. He showed us the example. Here's how you love. Now do it. Be imitators of God. Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Then in 1 John chapter 4, John says, we love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. Pants on fire. It's a different version of scripture than you're used to. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And He has given us this commandment, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So we know, and it is very clear, that God loved the world so much that He gave His only Son. People matter to God. People matter to Jesus Christ. People matter to the Holy Spirit. And people should matter to the church also. How many of you guys agree with that? Hands up. Both hands up. All right, now let's take up the offering. Give me your money. Okay. Second point here we're going to look at is that Jesus was fully devoted to the cause of bringing hope and salvation to people, to all people. Fully devoted to bringing hope and salvation to all people. You remember in the garden when He was just so distressed that He was sweating, and it was sweat of blood that He was so anguished. And He said, Father, if there's any way to let this cup pass before me, please. Now's the time. Now's the time to let me know if I can get out of this. But He finished that prayer by saying what? Yeah, not my will, but Your will be done. Or if you're King James, Thy will be done. Philippians chapter 2. Paul says, your attitude should be the same as Jesus Christ, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death. Not just death. Paul notes specific type of death. Even death on a cross. That's devotion. I don't know if you caught the beginning of that. Paul says that our attitude should be the same as Jesus's. The attitude of the church should be that level of devotion, that level of obedience, that no matter what it takes, we're going to be there. We're going to do it. That's devotion. He continues down a few verses from that. He says, do everything without complaining or arguing. That's the word of the Lord to a lot of us here this morning. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold the word of life, as you hold out the word of life. Church, that's you. That's us. I can be the church. We are the church. Our attitude should be the same thing as Jesus Christ. We should go about things without complaining, without arguing. We should serve. We should act in that way so that we can be pure and blameless. That's fully devoted. You can't be pure and blameless without full devotion. So that we can hold out the word of life, shining like stars in the universe. I love that passage. The church has been called to nothing less than full devotion to Jesus' cause. If you agree with that, go, mm-hmm. Let you write that down. The church has been called to nothing less than full devotion in Jesus' cause. And then number three, Jesus' ministry was a strategic advancement of the kingdom. His ministry was a strategic advancement of the kingdom. And there are many different examples I could have brought up. I could have filled a sheet up going through the Gospels. You just read the Gospels. Read the story of Jesus and watch how intentionally he loves, how deliberately he serves, the things that he does. He's always got something in his head. And one example comes to mind in the feeding of the 5,000 when he says, how are we going to get food for all these people? We're told in one of the Gospels that he had in mind already what he was going to do. He had a plan. He had an understanding. But it wasn't just one event. It was all the events that he was involved in. There was intentional. It was deliberate. It was strategic advancement of the kingdom. Let me take you to a place in Scripture where we see this in Ephesians chapter 1. Earlier, before this passage, he says that the choice to send Jesus, the decision to send Jesus, was made before the creation of the world. It was planned. It was organized, orchestrated. Verse 9 of chapter 1, he says, and he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. That mystery is no longer a mystery to us. It was to them who were searching for the Messiah, the Christ. But he purposed this. It was done purposefully in Christ to be put into effect when the times would have reached their fulfillment. There was a specific time. There was a plan. There was a time to send Jesus. There was a specific time to send that. When the times had reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will. God has a plan. God is organized. For those of you who are those that personality type, you're the planner, you're the organizer, you like things sorted out, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, and there's A, B, C, and D. And when you look at a list, like if you come to one of my meetings and I've got all these different bullets, you're like, oh, I want numbers and letters. This isn't organized. For those of you who are like that, it's comforting to know that your God plans. He organizes. Now, for us, who just aren't so gifted there. I mean, I'm great with coming up with ideas, but, you know, planning them out. So that, I need help doing that. For those of us who are on this side of things, it's so good to know that our God's a planner. Because I don't have to worry about the plan. I just function in the plan. I do my job. And so that's good news. Jesus loved intentionally and he served deliberately. No question about that. No question about that at all. The church should also love intentionally and serve deliberately. If you agree with that, let's go back to the 70s and just ride on, man. I can amen that. So let's take this sheet that you filled out, your bulletin right in front of you. And I want to share with you some of phase two as we are unveiling some of this in our direction and where we're headed. Let's go back up to the top there and look at how Jesus came to earth because of God's love for people and that we as a church, we should love people. I want to share with you a certain place that there are some people, if I can. I'm going to use a map to do this here. So I'm going to bring up the map. I'm going to be coloring some things in. So if you're looking at that and you're thinking, wow, that's kind of faded out. I'm having a hard time seeing that. Relax. We'll be good. Right here is our church. Bloop. Okay. That's 128 coming down through the middle of that that pin, that push pin. 74 is going that way and then curving around. Then 275. You see where I'm at? See the river? The river's important. It's going to pop up the river. There we go. That river's very important because that river is the border of Coleraine Township. All of that's Coleraine Township. A lot of people think that Coleraine is the mall or some of the dangerous areas of Coleraine. You know, Coleraine Township is huge. It's enormous. And it's just across the river. Now let's draw another line. Here's Coleraine Avenue. I want to share with you some Coleraine Township lingo. On the west side of Coleraine, that's creatively called West Coleraine because it's west of... All right, because I've explained this to some people five times and they still don't get it. So I'm trying to be like uber clear, you know, just totally unmistakably clear on this subject. Are you with me?
Yes.
So that's West Coleraine. Everything on the west side of Coleraine. Now, before I go any further, okay, I'll kind of just dangle this out in front of your face. I want to share with you some business deals that went down this year, just this year. Earlier this year, I don't know if you know about it or heard about it. I remember seeing a news report back in May that the mall, Northgate Mall, right up there, 275 Coleraine Avenue, just on this side of West Coleraine, that was bought by a company out of Dallas, Texas, a company that buys properties because they're a business, and businesses buy properties to lose money? No, they buy properties to make money. So if there's money to be made from this company in Dallas, Texas, that they've bought properties all around the United States, they looked at Cincinnati, they chose this area in Coleraine, they chose Northgate Mall. They did demographic studies. They even did, I think there's sociographic studies is what it's called when you make the phone calls. And they called people and they said, hey, what would it take for you to come back and start shopping at Northgate? So they did their homework. And even after all of that homework, they purchased this. And they considered it a good purchase. If they think there's money there through all of their professional demographics, then where there's money, there's what? People. And that's what we're concerned about. That's what we're concerned about, church, is the people. They did demographic money. They did demographic studies to find out where the money was. But I'm concerned about where the people are. So they think something's going on. And this purchase just happened 2012, this year. And they partnered up with Coleraine Township because they want to start cleaning up Coleraine Township. And so the last I talked to them up at Coleraine Township, the plan was for security in that mall to not be rent-a-cops. The security in that mall is going to be Coleraine Township police. Armed. Packing. That changes the scene in Northgate Mall. That says, we have a company from Dallas, Texas that says there's something going on in this area. This says that Coleraine Township says that we want to do something to improve our area. Another thing that happened this past year is that, if you remember hearing that Coleraine, they weren't going to do the fireworks. Remember hearing that? This company from Dallas, Texas, they thought enough of the community, they wanted to see fireworks happen in Coleraine, they paid for fireworks. That's how it happened. Because remember, it didn't happen and it did happen? That's how it happened. That speaks a lot to me because this company is willing to invest in this area. And a company doesn't invest into an area because they care about the people. Not often. Most of the time, companies invest because they care about the money. But once again, I come back to that. If there's money, there's people. I just dropped the name of the... help me out. Stone Creek, thank you. Stone Creek, I was stuck on Sandy, and I think it was at the golf course there. No, that's Pebble Creek. So a lot of stones and sands and stuff. So we got Stone Creek right by the interstate. You guys know what I'm talking about? The Meijer and the JCPenney and then the restaurants that are there. A company from Chicago looked around Cincinnati. What can I buy? Where can I make some money? And they bought Stone Creek. Stone Creek's new. It's awful new to be bought by someone. So they came and they bought Stone Creek because they wanted to make money. So we have two companies doing demographic studies from two different states, two different places in the United States that are coming to Colerain and saying there's something happening here. Both of these purchases happened this year, 2012. So let me share with you a little something else. A septic system, well, not a septic system, a sewer system has now gone in. Have you guys heard about this? Okay, sewer system has gone in. You're thinking, man, this guy's way too excited about a sewer system. All right, let's draw another line here. We got Harrison Avenue, and then we got Springdale. If you go down Harrison Avenue and you see that red dot is St. Bernard's, and you turn left to Springdale, and Springdale takes you right up to Colerain. Are you with me? All right. And let's go on and show our backyard here. I'm calling that our backyard. So if you hear me talking about our backyard, it's when we cross over the River Jordan here, and we're reaching the people that need to be reached. That sewer system went in down around here, around that area of Springdale, Harrison Avenue, and it's we're included in it. And what it's doing is all of this area that's shaded blue, those of you guys who are here from this area, what has that area been for years and years and years? Septic, yeah, I'm moving past the piping, past the plumbing. Farmland. Every bit of that's been farmland because of the plumbing. Now, if you take a drive through that area, down through Day Road and through, well, yeah, I'm going to explain the dots here in a minute, down through Blue Rock and up through Springdale, and just take some of those little neighborhoods off and just drive through a couple of those neighborhoods. New houses, beautiful houses. People are moving in. That area is developing, and I was told that from Colerain Township that is one of that's a high level of residential growth that's happening there. A lot of people are going there, and I'm thinking, these businesses are excited about buying this property. Now I find out that this whole area right here is growing in population, and you see some of the growth, you know, all that growth that you can see, and this is outside of this area that I'm showing here. But when you're driving down 74 and you see off to the side, that hillside that's just been completely renovated, making residential. Residential is growing all around us on this side of us. Now, what the red dots are, that's church presence in that area. So we have new people coming in, more than likely young families. Our church targets young families. That's why we have a student minister and a children's director separate. In a church our size, normally you have one person that does that job. We wanted each of those to be excellent. And I tell you what, I can vouch for the children's department because I have children. And they learn the Bible and they love it and they enjoy it and they look forward to it. And I love that as a parent, not as a preacher. As a parent, I love that about our children's department. Our youth department, they just had a lock-in this past weekend and they had 35 junior high students. Is that nuts? And that's Justin, and that's Dan, and that's the other youth sponsors are involved, and that is definitely these guys. They get it. They are the church. And that's exciting. It's exciting to see that. So we're growing. We're doing some great things. We're going to keep doing the things we're doing on this side of the river. We're not stopping. We're going to continue with City of Refuge. We're going to continue supporting that. We're going to continue with Southwest Local Schools. We're going to continue partnering up with them. We're going to continue partnering up with Miami Township here. In fact, the special speakers that we have coming next week, they're coming to thank us personally. We have the director over all of City of Refuge, Roseanne, will be here next week to thank you and to tell you what a difference you've made in their ministry. We have Chris Brown. Can you imagine? Superintendent, Southwest Local Schools, is coming to a church to say thank you for partnering with us to make a difference. That's awesome. And we have Diane Bachman, the president of the Miami Town Historical Society. She will be here. And all of them are excited about being here to do that. They love the idea for the invitation. So you don't want to miss next Sunday. So we're going to keep doing that. But we have this in our backyard. If we do enough aggressive publicity and marketing and let them know what we have and that we want them here and that we're here for them, and then they come in these doors and they see excellence right off, then they're going to want to come back. And the important part about that is we're going to be able to share Jesus with them, and we're going to reveal God through a church in motion. Amen? Amen. So what we're going to do is we're going to emulate what we've done on this side of the river, on that side of the river. And it's going to be tougher because we've got open doors on this side of the river. We've got connections. Over here, I've heard that Northwest local schools are open to churches getting involved. White Oak is part of that. I've started some partnering with White Oak. They've invited us to come and help, and they helped us out with Whiz Kids training, and they were completely open with that. Had a great lunch with Rick, and I look forward to many more with that. So I think this could be something in our future to be able to partner with them, and I'd like to partner with the churches over there, like the churches partner over in Harrison with His City, This City. I love that. I'd love to see the churches partnering over here with Northwest local schools just the way the churches are partnering over here with Southwest local schools. And guess what? We're the church to do it because of our position. We're right there. We can take what we've learned on this side of the river, continue doing it on this side of the river, and go to the other side of the river and do it also and reach new families. Families are moving from wherever they're moving from, but that's a big deal. When someone moves, that's an open door. They're probably going to change churches if they've already been going to a church. If they've never been going to a church, when they move, they're more susceptible to trying a new church. And we're going to be there. We're going to be there for them. That's number one. Number two is being fully devoted. And this is going to be spread out among the next 3 weeks. So don't think we're spending another 15 minutes on this. Jesus was fully devoted, and so we should be fully devoted. This vision requires full commitment from the congregation, from all of us. It's not going to be easy, but it's God's calling, I fully believe, for our church, and our church is positioned, and we have grown, and we've been learning that we can be the church, and we have an example to follow that we've learned on this side of the river, an example that's working, and it's working well. And we can do this on the other side of the river. And we can do it on both sides of the river. But it's going to take full devotion. If you remember the Not a Fan series, that whole series was talking about, I'm not going to be a fan anymore, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That's full devotion. It talked about being dedicated through attendance. Last week I shared the challenge to try and attend 4 Sundays in a row. For some of you, that's very difficult. And I'm not being mean. I'm just stating, according to attendance records, not many of you make 4 Sundays in a row in this service. There are some. There are a number. But let's bump that up. We need it. You need it. The church needs it. We need to be together. We need to strengthen each other. We need to know each other. We need to know who we're serving with so that when we're out there, sure, we're growing and we're getting to know each other. But when we're out there, we can work As soldiers on the same team. We're wearing the same jersey. And we're out there working. Dedicated involvement in service. Being active. Being more active. You guys have been so impressive these last few months. Next week I've got a little insert in the bulletin that I'm going to be putting in there. That's just exciting to see what you've done just in a few months. So dedicated involvement. We're going to be talking all about that next week. And then finances. We're going to have a sit-down talk about finances December 2nd. And I'm not pulling punches. It's just where we are. We need to know where we are. And we cannot have finances holding this vision back. We just cannot. We'll talk about that December 2nd. Don't plan a skip day. The third thing in your bulletin that's right in front of you is that Jesus had a strategic advancement of ministry as in his work. And as a church, we should have strategic advancement. And there's some things that I was really tempted to talk about just a minute ago because they were tying right in. And I'm going to reverse some of my things here. I don't think it's going to hurt them on the board. Actually, we'll just leave that up there. One of the things that we're wanting to do and being strategic is I would love for our giving and our funds to be able to afford to be able to put a couple of or be able to buy a couple of billboards on Springdale Road. If you've driven down Springdale Road, you know there's bulletin boards all over the place there. And I'd love to get a couple of those between, not Springdale Road, on Harrison Avenue. And I'd like to get some either between 128 and Springdale Road or even all the way up to Rybolt. Because a lot of the people that will be going into those neighborhoods will more than likely be coming off the highway, going off the Rybolt exit, coming down Harrison Road. And if every day they've got a billboard in front of their face that says, Miami Town Church of Christ, revealing God through a church in motion, we want you to come join us. We want you to be there. Something in their face that says, we want you. We want to be your church. We want you to come and serve with us. We want you to come and worship with us. We need to be aggressive towards this group. Another thing that we're going to do that I would love to do, and this is from some data that we've gotten. We keep track of attendance and all this stuff. And our largest attendance spike in the past 8 years was Easter of last year. That year was the year that we sent out the postcards. Remember that we did that? We sent out two waves of postcards prior to that Easter. And that Easter was our biggest spike in 8 years. So I'm thinking that works. Now that was thousands of dollars to put out all those things. And we had a big area that we sent them out to. But if we targeted just this blue area, it wouldn't be as expensive. And even if we targeted new people, people that had just moved in within the last 18 months, then we could be sending them things often once finances gets to the point where we can do that. But I think that would be a successful approach. The more we can get our name out there, the more we can let them know that we care about them, the better chance we're going to be able to share Jesus with them. And when they see us in the community, then they'll know that it's real. And then when they put the two of those together, when they see the sign, and then they see a shirt in their local school, or they see a shirt helping out, cleaning up something, or they see a shirt at the food pantry, or they see a shirt or whatever, and that shirt matches the sign, they're going to say, they are doing this, that's what I want to be a part of. And that's revealing God through a church in motion. Another thing that we're going to do, we want to get involved with Whiz Kids. That's a program. I've got a few people here. Once they went to the training, they were excited about it, and we need to do that. So reconsider that. I'm going to have to repost that out on the Help Wanted board about Whiz Kids, but we need to get involved in Whiz Kids, and Whiz Kids is a great program. I don't have time to talk about that because I've got a big thing I need to share with you before we're done here, and that is service time change. This is another strategic move to advance our ability to be more accessible, to be more marketable, to use a commercial term, for people. Our 8 o'clock service, our traditional service, you guys saw them this morning. That was part of our 8 o'clock traditional group. They sounded good, didn't they? Up here, and Steve leads worship, and we have Bob lead worship, and Gertrude's over there, just da-da-da-da-da, you know, and Shirley's over here, and she's like the same age as the organ, and they're going to town, and they're just like one. She's one with the organ. I'm probably safe saying that, aren't I? I mean, she wouldn't kill me. Shirley and I are pretty good shape. So I'll find out when she gets word of that. So, they do a great job. And our traditional service is a great traditional service. If you haven't visited, I encourage you to visit. It's like church that you grew up in. They do a great job. And I tell you what, our trend lines for attendance, theirs has been slow but steadily going up. Even through all the different things the church has been through the past 8-10 years, it's been a steady growth for that group. Now, the problem with an 8 o'clock service for that age group is that during certain times of the year, in fact, two times coming up, one before the next time change, sometime in December, I believe, and then after the time change happens again, it'll happen again in like March, where sunrise isn't until like 7:57. So if you have an 8 o'clock service and it's not light until 7:57, people of that age whose eyes don't work well in the dark, they're either not going to come to church or they've got 3 minutes to get here. And then you throw in snow and ice and dangerous driving conditions and rain or whatever you want to throw in there on those days where the sun doesn't come up until almost 8 o'clock. That makes it very difficult, one, for our own church people to make it here, and it makes it difficult for them to invite their friends who would enjoy that type of a service. I've heard from many of them, if the service were just a little later, we could invite friends and they might be more, you know, it might be more appealing to them. And so I talked to Gertrude and I said, if you could choose any time you wanted, I mean, if we just kick the 10:30 service out and you could just choose any time you wanted, 10:30, 9:30, 8:30, whatever time, what time would you choose? And she said, 8:30. And I said, really? You just a half an hour? That's what she said. That would make a huge difference. She said, in our group, this group of people, the traditional group, she said, they don't want to go to church late. They like to wake up early. They just don't like to be on the road when it's dark. So we want to have it as early as we can without it being dark. And I said, I think we can do that. So we've been working since April to try and figure out what we can do to move the 8 o'clock service to 8:30. We didn't want to move the 10:30 service because this service time is a very good, it's an attractive service time for this group. And for millennials, for young families, they get to sleep in a little bit, but it's not way out in the middle of their Sunday. Some of those families, if they see a later church time, they're like, no, I want to spend family time. That's in the middle of my Sunday. And so to attract a new family. Now, for the faithful comers, if we move the service to 12 or 1 o'clock, I'd expect a lot of you guys to be there because, you know, church is important. But attracting new people that haven't come to that conclusion on their own, we need an attractive service time. So the staff worked at this. And we said, okay, we need an 8:30. We need to keep 10:30 where it is. This gives time to make a transition between an awesome traditional service and an awesome contemporary service. Because our contemporary service, they do it upright, don't they? They do a great job. And our traditional service, they do a good job, but there needs to be a transition time in there because we have to completely change things up. So in order to do that, we had a problem because we have our adult education that will be affected by this. Some of you might be sitting there thinking, okay, we've only got 45 minutes for Sunday school now. And if you take away a half an hour, we've got 15 minutes. And normally 45 minutes, 15 minutes of that is spent taking prayer requests. So you're thinking, okay, basically we're just going to have a 15-minute prayer group instead of Sunday school. So here's what we're going to do at the Sunday schools. Now, we tried the whole growth group thing, and I'm all about making omelets. I don't mind breaking a few eggs. You guys have learned that about me. I hope you've seen that about me. I'm not afraid to fail. What I'm afraid of is not getting up. I don't mind at all failing, especially if I'm trying something that's going to advance or something new and I fail. It's all right. Let's get back up. Let's try something else. Growth groups, okay, they're done. They didn't work. So with our Sunday schools, we're going to, because a lot of them already function as a small group anyway, we're just going to call them small groups. And that way we have services, we have Sunday services, and we have small groups, and that's all we have. Sunday services, you worship, and you're educated. You're equipped. Small groups deal with service and discipleship and fellowship. And so we cover the five areas that a church should cover in these two areas. So this affects one Sunday school really bad. And I talked to them this morning, and we're going to see what we can do to try and help that out. But the other Sunday schools, the chosen ones over here, like a large percentage of their people, only two of their people go to the 10:30 service. Everyone else goes to the 8 o'clock service. So for them to have Sunday school while we're having, or for them to have a small group while we're having service, it doesn't affect them much at all. But the positive of that, we get a later service, we get a chance to keep the earlier service, and then the positive for the adult education side of things is it simplifies ministry. And in our study with the staff earlier this year, that was a big deal. Let's simplify ministry. Let's make ministry simple. Another thing this does is it allows those Sunday schools who are small groups to be completely autonomous. I mean, they get to make all their own rules. They're not sanctioned by bells. We're going to get rid of those bells because they drive me nuts. They always interrupt me. And so we're gonna get rid of those because we're not going to need them. If you got a small group and it meets, like if you're in this service and you say, you know what, we want to have a small group and we want to meet after service for lunch. We have a small group and that's what we do. It's great. I love it. If you want to meet on a Wednesday night, if you want to meet on a Sunday night, or if you want to meet on a Sunday morning. Say you want to meet at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning. You contact the office, find out what rooms are available. Say, okay, I want to get a small group started up at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning. You meet from 9 to 10, get done at 10, you go out and get some coffee and stuff, and you're in here by 10:30 ready to worship. No one makes your rules for you. You get a chance to have a bigger, longer group or a shorter group if you want. Some of the classes over there, 45 minutes, weren't enough. It's not enough for King Kroll. King Kroll can teach and teach and teach and teach. So now he can start at 10, he can go to 11:15 or 11:30. No big deal. He can go to 12, he can lock the building up. I don't care. So we're going to talk about children's programming and some other things there. Let's go on to some three quick action points, and then I'll be done. Three things that you can do, and these aren't in your bulletin, so you're just going to have to remember them. Pray. Just pray your tails off, because we need it. Pray for this church. Pray for the vision. Pray for those people that are moving into West Coleraine, into our backyard, across our Jordan. Pray for them. Pray for Coleraine. They're trying to clean up their act. Pray for them. Let's help them out with some prayer. We're going to help them out with some bodies and some service, but let's help them out with some prayer. Pray specifically for your place, where God wants you in this vision. Great thing about a mission and a vision is that it's very, very clear. Here's what we do as a church. It'll be easy to figure out where you fit in. If you say, I think I need to do this, and it's out here, it doesn't fit. If you say, I think God's put it on my heart to do this, and it fits, do it. And do it great. Run with it. We're not going to micromanage here. That's the great thing about a clear mission and vision. It fits or it doesn't fit. If it fits, run, go. If you need my help, I'll help. I don't want to, though. Not that I don't want to help. It's I want to be able to do my part, and I want you to do your part, and I want it to work like that way. Because that's how the church is supposed to function. You need help getting started? Absolutely. We'll help you get started. We'll get some leaders beside you, whatnot. If you can run with it on your own, go for it. Make it happen. So pray about your place. Another part is going to be to look for opportunities to serve. We are going to have to be active together to look for opportunities. This is a vision, and there's a little bit of this that's fairly nebulous. There's some of it that's really nice and concrete, but there is some of it that's nebulous. I want to see us, I believe God wants to see us, reach these people in West Coleraine. How are we going to do it? What type of people are we reaching? What needs do they need to be met? All those are question marks for me. And I didn't want to come up with the answers for them because I want our church to do it as a whole, because I want you involved in this vision. I think that's very important that we do this together. So be observative. Keep your eyes open. Look for opportunities we can get involved in Coleraine. And if you're praying about it and you're looking about it, then when God lays something on your heart, the third step is you need to be responsible with what God lays on your heart. And boy, I could preach the next half hour on that, but I'm not, because the food's out there and it's warm and it's going to be good. So I'll say that for another time. But you have to be responsible for what God lays on your heart. Don't let it fall on hard ground or thorny ground or rocky soil. Let it sink into the good soil and do something about what God has led you and told you that you need to do to be part of this mission and part of this vision. Don't be Moses. Be Isaiah. You know, don't say, I can't do this. I'm not good enough. You just say, woe is me. And then you say, here I am. That's what Isaiah said. Church, you can do this. We can do this.